Morning, everyone. Thursday, May 26. Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you wherever you are listening. Clarkie's got a fox problem. Well, what's going on? Morning to you, mate.
Morning, buddy. Morning, Loz. Morning to our listeners. Well, I don't know if it's a problem. I'm just seeing a lot of foxes in the area, which is, you would assume, a little strange. Different if you live on a bit of property. But, yeah, in where I live, it's just a little strange. But, yeah, I'm seeing them probably
plenty of
way more regularly than you would like. But they're obviously getting into the bins and a bit of tucker floating about. But, yeah, just thought I'd let you boys know that plenty of foxes in the eastern suburbs at this stage. 4 o'clock in the morning.
No dinosaurs?
You see them regularly. No dinosaurs yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm eyes wide open when driving. Put it that way.
Good stuff. Morning to you, Lozza.
Morning, boys. Yeah, not too bad. Good game of footy tonight. Manly taking on the Melbourne Storm. I actually give Manly a chance tonight.
Oof, really?
Harry Grant's not playing. Still a bit of doubt about Jerome Hughes. They haven't been playing the best of football. I know Manly have been struggling, and they've been doing that with Tommy T. But, yeah, I think this will be closer than a lot of people think. But, yeah, looking forward to the Origin teams being announced on the weekend, on Sunday night. Everyone gets a last chance to push their case forward. Interesting to see what type of teams both New South Wales and Queensland come up with. But, yeah, tonight's game should be a beauty.
Yeah, looking forward to it tonight. Last night there were 70,000 people at Accor Stadium to see Barcelona come back from 2-1 down. They beat the A-League All-Stars 3-2. And what looked a pretty good night there. By the way, yesterday we were talking about that five-bedroom show, and Brett has texted in already saying, good show, boys.
Really?
Five bedrooms.
What's it about?
Absolutely zero idea, but okay. Last night on 10 Bold, you could have watched Barcelona 3-2 in the end against the A-League All-Stars, 70,000 people, which is good to see. Some unfortunate news, and I'll just read this text out, Loz. Sad news, RE, Jared Croker re-injuring his shoulder again. If he retires, he's played 292 games for the one club, the third highest point scorer in NRL history. But never played for his state or country. Great clubman, says Graham. And the news yesterday that he's out for the game against Para on Sunday afternoon and dislocated his shoulder on Tuesday and reportedly at home. It's popped out, and it's the same one that he hurt against the Bulldogs only a few weeks ago. So he needs scans. And
I'd be pretty confident the scans will confirm that he'll need to go in and have an operation now. I think that when you're at home and something like that occurs, it's not a good sign.
Well, it's exactly what you told us about the basketball game.
You'd expect it to happen in a training contact session or during a game because you can land awkwardly. You put your body under a lot more pressure and stress. But if you're just at home lifting something or reaching out for something and it's popped out, that suggests to me that that shoulder is no good and the tendons will be gone and he'll have to go in and have a shoulder reconstruction. If that's the end of his career, he's had a beauty career. He's had a beautiful career with the Raiders. It's been sensational, and he's been well-regarded there. He's been a good leader. What'd you say? Third highest point scorer in NRL history. So that's a massive achievement. Unfortunately, if he is out, he won't get the opportunity to reach that 300 games. Off contract at the end of the season, it'd be a big decision if the Raiders re-signed him again. His career could well be over, but it's not the terms he wanted to go out on, if that's the case. But he's certainly given everything he's had, and one of the highlights of his career would have been leading the Raiders to that 2019 grand final appearance against the Roosters. With Aaron Luckey in that contest.
Gee, that can really just, like, the luck can really turn against you. He had that stem cell surgery. That was his knee,
wasn't it? Yeah.
So there you are, thinking you've sorted out the knee problem. You come back, do your shoulder.
Yeah. It's a hard game, and this is the highs and lows that a lot of players go through throughout their career. And unfortunately for Jared, relatively injury-free for the majority of his career. But the last couple of years, at the back end of your career, when it takes a little bit longer when you're older to recover from these injuries, it places more strain on your body, and you see light at the end of the tunnel. You want to finish on your own terms. You can see 300 games there. not far down the track, and that would have been a goal of his this season to play 300 games. But we'll wait and see what the scans have to say, but it just doesn't look great for him at the moment.
Clark here, Sydney Morning Herald, saying that due to civil unrest in Sri Lanka, here we go, all the white ball matches, well, they've been moved to daytime, so there'll be no day-night games over there, but apparently Sri Lanka's going through a hell of a time, having to get supplies shipped in, medicines, fuel, etc.
There's
no
fuel left in the country.
Yes.
That's what they're saying, that because they couldn't pay, I actually saw that a couple of days ago, because they couldn't pay whatever the number was, the lineup, and they got all the tut-tuts over there as well in Sri Lanka. The lineup for the service station when they announced it was the last day of fuel, it was like let's say 2Ks of these tut-tuts lined up. So even like you couldn't drive, you couldn't get through the road because everyone was lined up for fuel.
Mm.
They're saying there's no fuel left in the country. How's that going to work?
Well, ACA, the Cricketers Association boss, Todd Greenberg, he concedes the players aren't exactly comfortable going there at the moment.
And for good reasons. Well,
they leave on Wednesday.
How do they have a bus?
Yeah, well, this is the hardest thing as well. Like, even with that, so I know I'm all for if you can play, go and play to put smiles on people's faces, right? It's that important. And in that country, that's one of the countries that they do. They absolutely love their cricket. But if you're in a position where your country can't do the day-to-day things to survive, to live, like, cricket's got to become the last thing on your mind. You know, how's the police escort and the team bus and the 20 cars that take the players to the ground? How can that be okay? Yet you got people that can't fill their tut-tut up to take their kids to school or to get from A to B. Like, you can't have the cake and eat it. I think, you know, the country has to come first, and this is where you don't want sport to get involved in politics. But unfortunately, it sounds to me like this country's in a situation now where cricket should be the last thing on their mind. They've got so many issues going on that it's got to take precedence over a game of cricket.
Yeah, you'd like to think if, you know, they've got the protection too when they go over there.
Security's ridiculous over there.
You know, if they're out of petrol, out of people, well, follow them around.
And it's not a good look. You've got three police escorts, a team bus.
Yeah, and everyone else can't get around.
No one else can drive on the road. There's no petrol. That's not fair. That's not right. But
There's curfews over there.
Yeah. I think from Australia's perspective, I think the ACA, Cricket Australia, and the players will do everything they can to do what's right, and that they will want to go and play. There's no doubt about it. But it sounds to me with what's going on, I'm not sure. I'm not sure the tour will go ahead.
Well,
look at that photo.
I'm showing the guys a photo. That is a Sri Lankan government minister's house.
That's not good. That.
Up in flames. So that is that's just to give you an indication of the unrest. That country is in a bit of turmoil.
I follow Kumar Sangakkara and Mahela J. Wardner on social media as well. And for the last couple of months, some of the stuff that they've been writing, posting, saying in regards to what's going on in the country, it doesn't sound like it's in a great place at all. And, I think the players have every reason to be asking questions and monitoring daily what's going on. But most important, Sri Lanka's a beautiful country. Mm. It is so beautiful. There's so many amazing parts. So I hope for their sake they find a way to sort this out.
Yeah, indeed, doesn't look good at all. So they're off on Wednesday, the Aussie side.
T20's first, all one day's first. I can't. It's definitely white ball, and then the test matches are last.
Last, yeah. They've got three T20s, 5 1 days.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big tour.
And then two tests. Yesterday, I'm not sure you saw the NBA, Loz, but Dallas. We were right, if only we had a bean on that one as well. Because they were a decent price. They were, I think, slight favourites heading into the game.
Well, we always thought that, you know, they're too good a side to be losing 4-0 against Golden State Warriors, and in particular the game at home, and they were, you know, being embarrassed. So you thought they would come out and play some good basketball, and they did that. Although towards the end there, you started to get a little bit nervous because they were starting to come back, the Warriors. But Doncic, he's just a wonderful player. He scored 40 points. I thought, what was JR's multi yesterday?
She had the Warriors to win. I can't remember.
Warriors to win.
The other part of the league. So I was just looking at
that. She had
a
combined 40-odd points, didn't she? Doncic and someone?
Was that Klay Thompson? And
yeah.
I think it was 50-plus between them.
50-plus, was it?
And Klay Thompson had hit three or more threes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, anyway, it was a good game. Keeps them in the series. They have to, I think they travel away now, don't they?
They go back
to Golden State.
Yes, game five in...
Yeah, it could be all over in game five.
In the Bay Area, so 119-109. I'll tell you what, though, they nearly blew it. They're up by 29 points.
Yeah.
And they've ended up winning by 10. It got into single figures
If you're a Dallas supporter, you would have started to become a little bit nervous, but good to see. You loved seeing these sort of series go down to the death. You want to see them at least go to six or seven games. You don't want them to be all over after four, unless you've had a bet on them or unless they're your team. But, you know, for an observer or a neutral observer sitting there watching, I like to see that contest.
Really, the reason I brought this game up, though, did you see Warriors coach Steve Kerr?
I saw his press conference, yeah.
Walked into a press conference yesterday and just he said, I'm not here to talk about basketball. If you come across it at all, I encourage our listeners to listen to it. It was as powerful as it gets in regards to what the absolute tragedy that occurred over in Texas yesterday. I think it's up to 22 people who have been shot and killed. Many of the kids in primary school. I mean, just can you even wrap your head around that? And Steve Kerr just went into his news conference. I think it was actually before the game.
It was before the game.
Yeah, and just spoke for 3 minutes and just implored the Republican senators in the states who you know, abstaining from whatever, or the background check law, I think, that they're trying to pass over there, or many are trying to pass over there in the US Congress, and just implored their, you know, power makers to do something. It was as powerful as it gets to see a sporting coach walk in there and pour his heart out over that issue. It's worthwhile watching.
Well, it meant something to him because his father was killed.
Yes,
when he was 18, by a gunman.
Mm.
And I think it just brought back those memories.
Yeah.
Brought back those emotions. And he sat there and said, "This has been happening forever over here in this country, and we do nothing about it." And sitting here in Australia, you can't believe the gun laws that they have over there. And you still can't believe when they're calling now for more guns. Mm. You know, and they want their teachers to carry guns. They think that that's a better idea. Not get rid of the guns, but give them more guns so teachers can have them on campus. So teachers can start to fire them. You know, their way of thinking is completely different
to ours.
It's unbelievable,
isn't it? Absolute madness.
Well, they believe if teachers have got guns, they'll protect the students. It's mind-blowing, to be honest with you.
That's right. Steve Kerr's father.
His father.
He served in, I think he was even a Secret Service sort of agent in Lebanon.
In Beirut.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. He was shot twice in the back of the head in the hallway of his office, down the office or the building that he was in. So I think that's one of the reasons why it hits home for Steve Kerr.
Yeah, it was incredible viewing that yesterday. We'll take a quick break and look at the headlines. And we start Indigenous round tonight, round 12 in the NRL, and some great pictures on the back page of the papers, the back page of the telly. You're Not Black is the headline, the taunt that rocked Hines but made him stronger. He's got a great story, Nicho Hines, doesn't he, Loswell, from a background of turmoil within his immediate family. His mum was in and out of prison. He learned he was Indigenous at the age of 13, I think it was. And, what a poster boy he is for not only the Indigenous community, but for rugby league, the way he carries himself.
Yeah, he's sharing his story now and he feels comfortable to do that. But as a kid, he didn't. Yeah, he didn't know a lot about his upbringing, didn't know a lot about his family background. But Nicho Hines, he feels comfortable in his skin now to share his story. People don't know what others go through, and it affected him quite a bit when people used to taunt him about, "You're not Aboriginal." But, you know, speaks about his mother in and out of jail as a young woman. But he wouldn't change it for anything. He said it's helped shape him who he is. You know, he got an opportunity there with Melbourne. He grabbed it with both hands. And now he's up here with the Sharks playing some tremendous football. on the verge of playing State of Origin football. So it's been a remarkable rise for Nico. But it's a good thing that the NRL do to celebrate Indigenous Week in the Indigenous culture of these players, because they all have wonderful stories to tell. They can all be wonderful role models in their own communities and inspire young Indigenous kids to follow their dreams. And if they work hard and make sacrifices like a lot of people, then they can achieve things.
And there is on the back page of The Australian as well, Hines at Home with Indigenous Identity is the headline there. Now, in the Sydney Morning Herald, I wasn't coming back. Foran rises from rock bottom to join 250 Club, and he's got his own incredible story. Kieran Foran ahead of his 250th tonight for Manly against the Melbourne Storm. You remember the turmoil he went through, Loz, particularly when he just moved to Parramatta. He wasn't there for very long, was he, in the end? And left the game there for a period, came back with the Dogs, had some terrible years of battling injury. And good to see him, you know, string a couple of good years in particular there at Manly just before he leaves to go to the Gold Coast Titans.
I love hearing stories of players that, you know, are prepared to dig in, show resilience, compete hard. People write them off, but they come back and achieve. And that's exactly what Kieran Foran's doing at the moment. And he's playing some really good football, Kieran. He's got some nice touches or had some nice touches. He's starting to run the ball. He's been highly competitive. He's played a lot more games than people would have thought going back to Manly. It just seems as though it's a good fit for him there. Unfortunately, though, he's got to move on at the end of this season, so he'll be trying to get the best out of what's left this year. He's formed a wonderful combination with Daly Cherry-Evans over the years. It's unfortunate, too, that Tommy won't be there to play with him at the back end of the season. But Manly have still got a decent enough team to make the finals, and they need to pull it together very quickly, because they could be knocked around with a couple of Origin selections, none more more so than Daly Cherry-Evans, who'll be, well, we're assuming, the captain of Queensland. But yeah, Kieran Foran, wonderful story, and it's great to see him playing some really good footy.
Still only 31 years of age. Kieran Foran. It feels like he's been around forever, doesn't
he? He's played tough too, Kieran Foran, you know. That's what people forget. But Kieran Foran, when he first came into grade, you talk about halves going to the line and digging deep into the line and wearing a bruise. That's exactly what Kieran Foran did. And this was times before they weren't as protected as they are today. I mean, you go anywhere near the defence now, you pass the ball, you get taken out even with a push, there's a penalty. Whereas Kieran Foran would dig right into the line. And that's what made him so effective. And he would wear those bruises and he got knocked around. But he's been able to overcome that, come back a different player, reinvent himself again. And he's been a wonderful asset for Manly.
Gosh, I look back to that 2011 grand final. And I know Manly had a lot of experience, particularly in the forwards. Jamie Lyon, you know, Brett Stewart at fullback. But their two halves, Foran and Cherry-Evans, they were babies at the time.
Yeah, only young. I think it was Cherry-Evans' first year. But they had so many good players. So I think in that year, Cherry-Evans, on his right side, he had on the inside of him Glenn Stewart and on the outside of him Jamie Lyon.
Yep.
So that really helped Cherry-Evans as a half, because, you know, Glenn Stewart could play like a half and had the brain of a half. So he could guide the team around, get them to certain positions. Jamie Lyon was another one that could give Cherry-Evans that support that he needed. And then on the other side of the field, you had Beaver. And you had Stevie Maddie.
Yep.
So, you know, they had plenty of experience in and around those two young halves, and they just were so talented. They showcased their skills. They weren't afraid of anyone, and they played some magic football, and Manly were the dominant sort of team with Melbourne around that time.
Yeah, they had Watmo.
Anthony Watmo, yeah, there you go. Yeah. And Beaver must have been off the bench.
Beaver was just, he was retired.
Retired, was he?
Yeah,
oh, wait.
But I'm just looking at Manly's forward pack then. Now, Joe Nullivow, Brent Kite. I think Brent Kite won the Churchill. Or maybe that was 08. But Matt Ballon.
So 08 was the 40-0, was it?
40-0, yeah. 11's when they beat the Warriors.
Warriors.
So you got Young, Foran and Cherry Evans, but look at that forward pack. Yeah, so Ballon, Kite, Joe Nullivow, Watmo, Tony Williams, Glenn Stewart, with Shane Rodney, Bura, George Rose coming off the bench there as well in that grand final with those young halves. But Kieran Foran gave 250 tonight.
Forget Chockey Watmo. Oh, what a player he
you
was.
You forget that at the peak of his powers, he was the most damaging forward in the game.
He had great speed. He was had that low centre of gravity, and he was strong. Mm. Such a strong carry of the football.
Also on the back page of the telly, 700K mystery, Lodge's golden walkout. So Buzz has broken this story that the Warriors have paid around 90% of what was owing on Matt Lodge's contract, despite, of course, him walking out on the club saying he doesn't want to go over and live in New Zealand. He turned up playing club rugby in Brisbane in the last few days as well. So this takes up around $700,000 in their salary cap. And according to this article with Buzz, $500,000 of that next year.
It's a strange one, because if someone goes to the club and asks for a release, you say, yep, no worries, shake hands. You might come to a, you know, an arrangement where you pay them for the rest of the year, but you're certainly not going to pay them out in full for a year in lieu. You're just going to come to an agreement where, well, if you want to go, you can go, but you forfeit the money next season. Or you try and sell him to another club. But they've shaken hands. He's got the golden handshake. So well done to Matt Lodge for being able to get that type of deal done. But if you're the Warriors, I don't know. If you're a fan, you're probably asking yourself, why do we have to pay him all that money? And why does that put us at a disadvantage next year, having $500,000 already off our cap?
Something's happened. It'll come out. No doubt the journos are all over this at the moment.
What could have happened?
Well, mind boggles. I mean, why are you paying him?
Well,
basically,
Lodge has certainly done nothing. He's getting the money
contract out.
If the Warriors are paying him, at least they've just had an agreement there that if he wanted to leave at any time when they first signed him, because they had to sign players, they might have come to an arrangement that Matt, if you want to leave at any time, we'll pay you out in full.
Coach doesn't want him. And they've said, well, Lodge said, well, I'm not leaving. I'm on contract. And they've said, well, mate, here's your money. We don't want you here. You're actually making the club worse. So here's your money.
You try and sell him, though, first.
Maybe.
You just wouldn't pay him out like that.
Maybe they've been trying.
Yeah, I don't think so, because no one's had any contact with him.
Maybe that's the truth. Maybe no one wants him.
Pat's got a conspiracy theory on the text line, which sure, I won't read out because
up, though, wouldn't they? He's not. He's
no, someone pick him up.
There's worse than him playing.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, he's a good player.
Definitely.
He's a good player, Matt Lodge.
Yeah.
Yep. I can't read that out, Pat, for potential defamation reasons, but there's a theory on the text line there. So we've got Josh Reynolds coming up in the UK in about 10 minutes' time after the news. Now, it's the golf event you shouldn't miss, the Drummond Golf Mid-Year Sale. You can save over $300 on Cougar Power Cat, a 12-piece set with a bag. Now just $498 for the Cougar Power Cat set. You can save $31 on TaylorMade Select Cart Bag, only $168. Golf Buddy LTV Voice Range Finder, just $338, save $111. And Callaway Warbird Golf Balls, a 12-pack, only $16.95. Hurry, the Drummond Golf Mid-Year Sale ends soon.